Jackson. I'm going to repeat that. 37 and a quarter.
Hurry for the lead.
Hey guys, welcome back to a new episode of the Dubs Talk podcast presented by Wendy's. Right now at Wendy's, get two breakfast sandwiches for just $4. I'm Kendra Andrews, joined once again by our Warriors insider, the OG, Monty Poole. Monty, it's great to have you back again, and a great episode to have you here because in just a couple moments, we're going to go listen to an interview that you did with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, jam-packed full of information regarding the new rookies, free agency, Klay Thompson, next season. So much important information coming from that, but first, we're getting down to the end of Summer League. The Warriors have just one more game to play. And I haven't been able to watch all of the games extremely closely because of some other projects I've been working on. But Monty, you have been watching all of this. And the guy that everyone's talking about right now is Jonathan Kuminga. The big question heading into Summer League is he as much of a project as everyone thought he would be? So where we are right now, what are you seeing from Kuminga?
Well, I thought the most impressive thing about Kuminga is that his athleticism jumps off the page. He's a strong kid. He's not bulky, but he is strong, wiry strong. And you see it, and he's not afraid to use his strength. He attacks the paint, which is what I had heard about him. And I think that's a wonderful thing for the Warriors because not only does he attack it, but he attacks it with a vengeance. And that to me means two things. One, he can finish through contact. We've seen that. And two, he'll be going to the free throw line. So he's one of those guys that, like Kevin Durant, you know, the Warriors used to look at KD and say, he can get us some points from the free throw line. Well, Kuminga's going to be able to do the same thing. There are times you forget that he's only 18 years old. So that tells me that, yeah, he's less of a project than I think people thought he was. His shot is a project. His shot is a project. You're going to need to do better on that. But his footwork is generally pretty good for a kid. But his disposition, I love it. The way he plays, what he goes after, it lets you know. Defensively, you know, it's hit and miss. Some moments are really impressive. Some moments are like, whoa, what was he thinking there? But in general, again, it's a lot to work with. And so I thought in the game against the Pelicans the other night, you know, first of all, he's had other really important games against guys that were top five picks, top 10 picks. And so I think there's a sense of pride, a sense of ego on the line there. And last night he went against Trey Murphy, who was, I think, number 17 pick. And Trey was a potential lottery pick. I know the Warriors liked him. And Trey gave Jonathan Kuminga some issues. Trey's length, you know, he's 6'10", I think. And you saw it on defense where, you know, he blocked a shot by Kuminga. He stole a ball from Kuminga, you know, and so there were some moments there. You thought, okay, Kuminga's going to have a little bit of an issue sometimes finishing against bigger players just because of the length. And so, again, I think Murphy played really well. I think in that game he outplayed Kuminga, but Kuminga always has these moments when you go, whoa, and he had a couple of those again in this game. The dunk, obviously, which, you know, he can do that in his sleep. But the play that was almost a goaltend late in the game where he blocked a shot, that, you know, a potential game-winning shot. And I thought that was tremendous. So on the whole, I thought Kuminga in Summer League has been really good, better than expected in terms of how much I'd heard about how raw he is.
I definitely agree with that. You see a lot more finesse in that skill set that he had that I didn't expect him to have. And something else that I've kind of noticed just in the clips I've been able to see and all the reading I've been doing from your reporting as well, is that it almost feels like, okay, when you go into Summer League, you know that no player is just going to overhaul their issues in this one Summer League, right? But it's those little slight improvements that I feel that Kuminga has been having from a game to game basis, where maybe one night he's really struggling with turnovers. And then, okay, the next time he shows that maybe that's not just an overarching, overwhelming issue, but sure, it needs some help, but it's not anything to be highly, highly concerned of, that he can do some passing, little areas like that, that shows that whatever they're doing in practice, he is trying to apply to in-game situations.
Yeah, the ISO play a couple of games ago where, you know, he's out at the top of the key and it's the end of the first half, and the clock is coming down, and he really jab stepped, and then he went into a Euro kind of thing, and just kind of double. He went by the defender. I can't remember who the defender was, but he used his dribble, you know, basically crossed him over, and then went in for the dunk that brought everybody out of their seat. I mean, it was like, whoa, you know. And so to have a guy who can do that, I mean, that's not something that a Warrior on this last year's roster you associate with. I think Wiggins can do it, but he didn't really, that's not really what he does for the most part, but he can do it. I mean, he has done it. But to see an 18-year-old kid make that move, that was some KD-like stuff in the sense that his handle was tight. You know, he did use, you know, some really nifty moves to get to the hoop. And then he got so close enough to where he just jammed that sucker home. So it's those kinds of things that, yeah, you look at and think, man, okay, this is why he's special. But you're right. You know, there are some things that there's going to be things that he needs to tighten up. But that's to be expected. The turnovers in particular, you're right. One game he'll have one or none. Next game he'll have five or six. And so he's trying to do a lot. I think he's still working his way through that, and he will be. The thing is, you look at him now, and he's like this uncut jewel. You see what he can be, and you wonder how good he can be. And everybody says that he works at it, that he is a worker. He's not one of those guys that just kind of lounges around, but he wants to be great. And which, in that regard, it reminds me a lot of what I heard about Giannis when Giannis was coming in. Everybody said, oh, man, this kid, he's skinny, he's raw. But he really works. He attacks the work. He comes to work. He wants to work. We have to slow him down, tell him to back off, you know. And Kuminga has some of that going on too.
When you look ahead to next season, and this is a question that I've been asked or have had conversations with people about, is, okay, what's Kuminga's role going to be within the Warriors or for the Warriors next season? But then kind of the follow-up to that is, will he spend time in Santa Cruz in the G League because of how important – just in-game reps are. Do you see the Warriors sending, and this could even also be something for Moses Moody, but do you see the Warriors sending their two draft picks, particularly Kuminga, down to the G League just to get those in-game reps, those big minutes that they probably won't see up here in Golden State?
Well, I guess it's conceivable. You know, they plan to bring both Kuminga and Moses Moody along a little bit differently than he did with Wiseman last year. And Wiseman, you know, didn't do the G League thing. You know, he started out the gate and without training camp, without summer league, he was a starter. But from everything I'm hearing, they're going to handle these two guys differently, you know, and so they're going to bring them along a little slower. And so it's conceivable that they both, one or both, could go down to the G League and get some work in. But it's pretty clear that they are very high on these guys. And it's also one of the reflections on that is that they've overhauled their player development staff. And that is going to be huge for them this season. And I think those player development guys are going to be in, you know, they're going to be in the NBA. They're not going to be in the G League. So I think they want to get both Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga as much time as possible with the new staff, you know, guys like Kenny Atkinson and Yama Amalalela. So, G League, maybe, but I think the idea initially, they'd like to get these guys as much time as possible in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, it's a good segue into your interview with Steve Kerr, because I know that Steve did touch on this topic in the interview that you did with him. So let's take a listen to what you and Steve Kerr talked about, including how he sees Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga fitting in with the team next year.
Graton Resort and Casino is your destination for 24/7 fun. Experience luxurious rooms, award-winning dining, world-class spa and salon, and the best gaming and entertainment around. Visit GratonResortCasino.com to book your 24/7 fun.
When you look back now, what are the things you think about that you know, maybe you learned or that you want to apply next time around? I mean, what's your take on what happened last season?
With the Warriors?
Yes.
Well, I think, every season is different and you learn from every year and every development. And you try to take something from each experience that you have and apply it to the next season. And, you know, you're always looking to get better. And so I think, I think we really learned as a staff a lot about our players and about you know, how they fit and what we need to work on, where we can get better. But I think more than anything, I think thinking about this past season, we were in a really interesting spot, you know, where we had the return of Steph, but no Clay, and that put us in a different position.
Right.
If Clay had been back, I think our priorities would have been different. I think, you know, the season would have been a lot different. So I think we adapted on the fly and ultimately, you know, had a pretty solid season. But I'm really excited about this coming year because I think there will just be clarity in terms of what we're trying to achieve. And you don't always have that. Like, you know, we didn't have that last year, but we have that now going into this year, and that's exciting.
Is that, I guess, a more difficult challenge when you have, again, an influx of new bodies, some really young people, you know, that are coming in from the draft? James is basically still a rookie. So in a sense, there will still be a measure of development going on the entire time.
There will be a ton of development going on, which is exciting because these guys are all really talented. And so, you know, I think that was one of the things I realized last year, was that I wanted to make some changes to the way we go about our daily business, our daily routine as it relates to player development. So I think, you know, that was getting some fresh ideas from the coaching staff is great. But I think this year's team will offer a much better mix of veterans and mentors to go along with those young guys. I think we have more continuity this coming season than we've had, you know, since our championship teams, and a much clearer sense of you know, who's ready to play and who's not. Yeah. You know, and obviously that changes as you go, but to start the season anyway, it's really exciting just to think about the structure of the team and the balance and what we can accomplish.
No, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway, and that is, your thoughts on Andre's return and his role next season.
Well, he means the world to us. I mean, when he left, you know, we've kind of lost our soul in a lot of ways. So the last two seasons, we've been somewhat rudderless in many ways, and I suspect we're going to get our rudder back with Andre. And, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off of Steph and Draymond and Clay on the leadership side of things off the court. But it also adds one of the key people who understands how we operate and how to make things work on the court with our unique style and unique roster. So I think he's going to be just a huge addition, both on and off the court.
Is there do you project how often you'll be able to use him?
No, I don't think we'll be able to gauge that until the season starts and we get a better feeling of where he is physically. And I mean, I have no doubt he can contribute. I've watched him the last two seasons, and he's really helped Miami win a lot of games. He looked great to me both times when we played them live, you know, watching him live. So he's still got something left in the tank, and he's going to be a big help for us.
What was it like for you not being around for the late stages of the draft workouts and the draft itself. I mean, you were occupied with the Olympics, and so it kind of, for me, from the outside looking in, there had to be some sort of a little bit of a disconnect, even though you guys were communicating regularly. What was it like for you?
It was different for sure, but it was, you know, I was still in touch with Bob quite a bit, you know, before the draft and free agency, and so we talked frequently, and so he was sharing a lot of what was happening with me. I had tape to watch on all the prospects we were thinking about. So, you know, I had watched a lot of our guys and the guys we ended up drafting and others. And then free agency, you know, I jumped on a Zoom with Otto Porter and David Falk with and Bob and Joe, and, you know, made my coaching pitch to Otto. And so I was, you know, I was still part of things just from, you know, half a world away.
What was your, I guess, what did you think of, when you looked at or evaluated Kuminga and Moody, what are the things you came away with and the things you hope to see, maybe even as rookies?
Well, they're obviously both talented players. You know, I've only, you know, watched a couple games each, you know, from college or the G League, and then I saw the summer league game the other night. I'll see the one tonight. So I'm just getting to know these guys, but they're obviously very gifted young players, and it's exciting how young they are, because that means they have a higher ceiling. They've got a lot of room to grow, so that's exciting, and we're planning on giving them the best possible support, and in my mind, there's no pressure at all for either one of them to play and expect too much. But, you know, if they're ready, then that's great. But you know, they'll be able to progress at a really natural rate.
Do you see Kuminga as a wing, or do you see him at the four?
He looks to me like he can play, you know, the three or the four. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a willing passer, obviously really strong and powerful. And I think that's one of the reasons he's a great prospect, is just the versatility that he will provide at some point. So a lot of exciting prospects for him. But again, we're not going to rush anything, and, you know, when he's ready, he'll play. And in the meantime, we'll develop him every single day.
So you're not going in with the anticipation that they will certainly play as rookies? I mean, one's 18, one's 19.
Yeah. You know, and we obviously went through that with James last year, and because it made sense for us to play James last year, you know, with no Clay and you know, we're in a stage where the development, you know, had to come from games, given that there was no summer league, no training camp for James. So, you know, last season was different, where we felt like, all right, let's throw James out there. This season, there's, as I was saying before, there's a lot more clarity. I think there's we have more depth, and we have guys who are, you know, ready to contribute and play as veterans, and they fit the puzzle. You know, these guys, I mean, Bielitsa is going to be a really good fit for us, and Otto, we know what he can do. These guys have done it in the NBA, so the young guys will, you know, they'll have to earn their time, and that's great. That's how it probably should be.
You and Bob both, I know, at the end of the season, talked about the importance of maybe adding some veteran players, and obviously you did that with Otto and Andre and Nemanja. But there was also talk about a backup point guard. Is there still a position, something you need to add to this team, you think?
Not necessarily. You know, I'm really high on Chris Chioza. So is Kenny Atkinson, who coached him a couple of years ago. He's proven that he can give us good minutes back there. Jordan Poole was basically steps back up, you know, at the end of last season. So I think we'll go into it feeling pretty good about things, and we'll get a feel for our team, and we'll have some flexibility in case we need to add somebody. We'll keep that option.
Bob also mentioned, you know, several times on draft night, in terms of projecting the team, that a lot of it depends on how well Clay comes along. Do you have a feel for where he is and when you might be able to expect him to hit his stride yet?
Well, I think it's going to be just a play it by ear thing. I mean, the main thing is he's really progressing well. He's in a great frame of mind. You know, he's just in a really good place, and it's exciting just to think about him coming back. So I think all the players and coaches are excited. Just to know he's on track is awesome. So we'll just see where he is come training camp, and trust the training staff to work with him and give us the advice that we need, and we'll go from there.
Are you prepared to start the season knowing that he probably will be limited, if available at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the idea. Mm-hmm. That's what we're expecting, and so we'll plan accordingly. And you know, whenever he's back, he's back.
When you look at what you got from Steph last year, from Draymond last year, and you look at what Wiggins was able to do, and you add in the new guys, the young guys, the veteran guys, when you look at this team's ceiling, if healthy, what do you think, how good do you think you can be if you have good health?
I it's hard to really gauge, you know, where we are against the rest of the Western Conference. Obviously, there's a lot of great teams, and we're just, you know, we haven't even had a practice to put the group together. But I'm very excited about the potential, and it feels to me like we're going to be back in a situation where we can compete on a nightly basis, and just knowing that is exciting, but we've got a lot of work ahead to prove that.
So last year, at some point during the season, I noticed this, and as did many other people, and you mentioned it before when I talked to you, that you decided to sort of step away from social media.
Mm-hmm.
If you could explain why, and whether that's going to be temporary, permanent, or what your plan for the future is on that, because you were a presence out there.
Yeah. It actually started an agreement with James Wiseman. Did I already tell you this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so we were on a road trip somewhere, and I asked James how he was doing. You know, it was obviously a long season, and he had his ups and downs, and I asked him how he was doing, and we were in a conversation about life in general, and I asked him about social media, and we started talking about it. And I said, "What do you say we take a break? We both take a break for a few weeks, and just don't get off of Twitter and anything else that you're on." And he said, "Yeah, let's do it." And that probably was, I don't know, maybe March or April, and I've been off ever since, and it's been bliss.
Well, you mean you're not itching to get back?
I'm not, and I thought I would be, and it's interesting because I do feel sometimes I feel I don't know if a responsibility is the right word, but, you know, I do feel like it's good to, you know, speak your mind and, you know, share articles that you've read and, you know, have a presence. But I also feel that social media has been really destructive in a lot of ways and divisive in our country. And so I found when I got off of it that it was kind of a relief. And, you know, the old saying, ignorance is bliss, that's probably a little too harsh because you still want to know what's going on. But staying away from all the BS and all the divisiveness and the rhetoric and the anger, it's much healthier. It's a much healthier way to live. And so I have no plans to go back.
Yeah, there's a direct correlation, I think, between the prevalence of social media and the number of athletes who are facing and willing to face now their mental health issues. It certainly seems to be that it's a factor for sure.
I agree. I think it's never been harder to be a professional athlete or, you know, a person in the limelight. You know, it's like life is like a big minefield now. And obviously, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes but social media has made mistakes unforgivable, you know, it's just a terrible way to treat one another. And yet it's, you know, the cat's out of the bag, you know, this is kind of how society works and it's just fed right into, every aspect of our lives, politics and many others, you know, interpersonal relationships and, just the way we communicate. It's really unfortunate. And so, I'm enjoying my time away from it, but I also recognize that, you know, I've got to continue to, be aware of what's going on, you know, in the world and try to do the things that I think can help, if that's possible. So maybe finding a different path is the way to go.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say, and I know my opinion is that it's in some ways the best thing that's ever happened to us, but it's also in many ways the worst thing that's ever happened to us. So it's depends on how you use it, because it can be so destructive, as you mentioned. But I think it also has been able to keep people closer together than they normally would be. And that part of it can be positive, but yeah, you're right. It's so negative in so many ways, and it brings out the worst in people sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. I mean, people write things that they would never say to someone face to face.
Yeah.
And you know what's happened, I think, is the divide that exists. The political divide is has been fueled by communication through social media that is so angry, and as I said, there'd be no way that people would say some of the things they write, but once they write it, it's there forever, and it's used, you know, against people, and so you end up with this back and forth rhetoric that's just it's toxic, and it infiltrated our politics and our world, and it really is a shame.
Yeah, the keyboard can be a perfect tool for the fake tough guy, you know. It's like...
That's right. That's right.
Last couple of things. One, speaking of social media, at this time last year, there were people questioning openly whether Draymond had anything left. And there were people wondering, well, you know, how good is Steph going to be? Their response spoke for them, each other, spoke well for each other. Did that give you a, a better sense of just how much you could expect from the quote unquote core going forward?
Just their performance, you mean, last year?
What they did last year.
Yeah.
Or did it meet or exceed your expectations?
I don't think they exceeded my expectations. I felt like they still had plenty left in them, both of them. You know, Steph had been obviously injured and missed the whole previous season, but you know, Draymond on a bad team is not going to shine. You know, he needs to be in a competitive situation to make the most of his gifts. So I felt strongly that with Steph back, Draymond was going to be a lot better, and he was fantastic.
Are you able to look forward more than a year or two in terms of what you'd like to see when you have this blend of veterans and youngsters coming in and sort of picture where you might be 3, 4, 5 years from now, assuming you're still coaching? And I mean, maybe that's an unfair assumption, but still.
Yeah. Well, I do think about the long-term health of the team, you know, beyond just how long I'm going to coach. I mean, I think we all of us who are part of this now and who have been part of it for years, we take great pride in just being part of the Warriors and part of the group that, you know, helped take this team to new heights. And the result is, you know, it's going to be a lifelong love for the franchise. And so I have no idea how long I'm going to coach, but I know that I want the Warriors to be good for a long time. And Bob Myers does too. Even if we were both gone in a year, we both want the Warriors to continue to be great. We love the Bay Area and we love our fans, and, you know, we want them to continue to cheer for a really good team. So I think the idea of what we're doing, you know, adding these young players and now trying to help them develop, I think it's great. I think it makes perfect sense. And I know some people are clamoring for us to, you know, make a huge trade. By the way, one that doesn't exist, to our knowledge anyway. What we're doing, I think, is makes so much sense, and I think we have a chance to be really good this year, and we have a chance to put the team in a great space, you know, for the next era of the Warriors too, with these young guys. So I love the plan, and as I said, we're all, you know, whether it's Ron Adams or me or Bob or Mike Brown, you know, we all want this franchise to be successful long after we're departed.
Okay. Last two questions. One, you revamped the development team, bringing in Kenny, bringing in Yama. You've got guys coming in now that are totally different. You wanted different voices. What do you hope you're able to achieve with these new voices?
Well, I think, you know, we want to maintain our culture, but infuse our culture with new ideas. And so you want people who are smart and love the game and passionate about coaching young players, but who can maybe bring a slightly different perspective on how to do things. And and that was the goal going into the summer. We, you know, we pretty much had the same staff over the last 6 years or so. And you know, after Luke Walton left for the Lakers, we've kind of had this group in place, and they've all been fantastic. But it was just time. You know, you have to evolve in any business, you've got to continue to try to evolve and change and adapt without changing who you are. But you've got to, you know, change tactics and bring in new people, new blood. And that was the idea. So I'm excited about all the new guys and we're going to have some different practices in place, but the aim is to do it while maintaining the culture that we've built.
Tons and tons of information coming out of that. I want to start with exactly what we were talking about before listening to that interview in regards to bringing along Kuminga and Moody, not doing it as they did with James Wiseman, purely because what they did with James Wiseman was out of necessity. You know, they were missing a lot of bodies. Injuries were coming at them from every single angle. They didn't have Clay. They had a little bit of an identity crisis, and they just kind of threw Wiseman out there. And clearly that is just not what they don't even have to do that with Moody and Kuminga because of the group of guys that are coming into the season. They have the luxury of having summer league. So for me, seeing that, you know, these guys are going to have to compete for minutes just because they're lottery picks. It doesn't mean that they're going to be given roles right away. Steve Kerr doesn't expect them to have big roles right away. To me, that's an important thing to remember heading into the season, as everyone has all of their eyes on these two rookies.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you look at a guy like Otto Porter comes in, and, you know, if he's healthy, he's had some health issues the past couple of years, but if he is healthy, he's a guy you plug and play for 25, 30, 35 minutes a night if you need him to. And so you don't have to. With last year, I mean, Looney initially out of camp, you know, he wasn't 100%. And so they started Wiseman on just almost nothing. They had almost no background with him, and he was out there like a deer in the headlights at times. And then other times he was out there going, oh, doing things that make you go, wow. So in this instance, they do have the ability to be patient, assuming these other guys stay healthy, assuming that Porter stays healthy, assuming that Iguodala gives him some minutes, which, you know, they believe he will. And so those two guys at the wing position, they can afford to bring a two young wings along a little bit slower. Now, the question the Warriors have to answer, though, is who's going to be the off guard? And Steve, you know, they're not sure yet. I mean, they're going to see how it plays out. They could go with Otto Porter and Wiggins, because Wiggins has played some guard. I mean, and I know Steve Kerr has said in the past that he saw Wiggins and Klay Thompson as almost interchangeable. Guys that can play two and three and in small lineups, maybe even some four. So I'm going to say that, yeah, with Moody and Kuminga, the urgency that they felt with Wiseman is not there. And I would expect that they will have to compete for minutes. I would expect that there will be time for when they will get minutes early in the season, maybe blowout games just to put them out there and give them some NBA feel. Because keep in mind, the summer league is not the real NBA, you know. And so it's a little bit different. And a lot of times guys flash in summer league and like do things that are wonderful and tremendous and great and spectacular. And the real season comes and it's like, where'd that guy go? Well, that guy is now playing with real NBA players and it's a little different game. So, yeah, I think that's the idea, is bring them along a little slowly and let them kind of feel their way through the league a little bit. And then from there, see if they can earn minutes.
Yeah, the length that Kuminga had a hard time dealing with Trey Murphy, he'll be facing a lot more of that with a lot more already skills possessed in the NBA. So it's definitely not the same thing as summer league. And it also speaks to the fact of what I said last time we talked, is no rookie or most rookies who are on a team that is trying to contend for either a playoff run or even a title, they're not going to be the big game changer. So for people who are freaking out or really worried, saying, oh, the Warriors didn't draft an NBA ready guy, they drafted projects, this is probably what it was going to be like no matter who they drafted. Someone who was going to be coming in towards the end of games in maybe more garbage time minutes aren't going to be changing the franchise right now. It's just that patience that's needed for these guys. This is how it's going to be. They're not going to be, you know, the superstars. And you also touched on the need to be healthy. I feel like any success, just the measure of success the Warriors have next season is all about health. Steve Kerr provided that update on how Klay Thompson's doing. Man, how Klay is, even if he's a percent of himself, you know, I don't think he has to be 100%. If he's 75, 80% of himself, as who he was before the injuries. The Warriors can be a really good team, but man, health is going to be so key. We've seen what it's done, not just to the Warriors last season, but all these other teams in the Western Conference and Eastern Conference. So it's good to hear that Klay is coming along, you know, but it's still opening night isn't going to be when he's back.
No, that's every sign is indicating that he's going to be coming in a little later into the season, which makes sense. I mean, it's an Achilles, and it's an Achilles on one leg coming after an ACL on the other leg. So you're talking about a guy who's not been on the court now in 26 months. And so it's a lot for him to sort of work through and to be able to get to the point where he can play at the level that we used to see in Klay Thompson play at. Watching Kevin Durant is got to be giving them a lot of reason for optimism, because KD came back and it's like, didn't he have an Achilles? You know, wait a minute. How is he doing all these things? So that's encouraging. At the same time, you know, you've got Klay, who won't be ready to start the season. They're hoping he can be ready a couple of months in. We'll find out. And again, Otto Porter is a guy who had some injury issues. You know, Andre is 37, will be 38 in January. So you're right. Injuries will be crucial for this team. You know, if Klay comes back and let's say he comes back 20 games into the season, 25 games into the season, then he can play, you know, 80 to 90% of the remaining games. That will be 45 or 50 games. Then they would take that in a heartbeat. And as long as he's ready for the postseason, which I think is what they're thinking. It's like, you know, get him some time on the court in the regular season. Maybe he'll hit his stride, you know, March and in April, and then we're going to the postseason. I think that's what they're hoping. Porter, you know, again, he's missed over 100 games the last 2 years. So he says he's healthy. They need him to be healthy. If he breaks down early, then there's another issue, because now you have a hole. And they didn't bring back Bazemore. Oubre's gone. So you don't have that fallback option if Klay's not ready and Porter goes down. You may have to press Jordan Poole into starting lineup, which you don't want to do. You want him to be the leader off the bench, the guy who kind of, you know, the dynamic guy off the bench makes things happen for the offense. But if these guys, and I don't even mention Steph Curry and Draymond Green need to be healthy, you know, but yeah, health is going to dictate. Yeah. And if Klay can't be Klay, the Warriors have no chance of getting to the NBA finals. If Klay can be Klay and everything else comes along, then they have a shot, I'd say, a shot to get there. But again, so much has to go right.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree with you that with no Klay Thompson, the Warriors' chances just aren't good for a title shot. You look at last season and you just can't, you know, the Warriors were right there, almost got into the playoffs, but fell. And if they don't have Klay Thompson, it's going to be a lot of the same thing that we saw this past season. Of course, other guys are different. You know, the roster looks a little bit different, but that is like the big, big factor that if Klay Thompson isn't there, it's going to look a lot like it looked last season. You mentioned Jordan Poole, how they shouldn't want him to be in the starting lineup, because they do need him to be that spark off the bench, particularly as Steve Kerr talked about, if they don't plan on signing a veteran point guard. Jordan Poole is the guy, you can't even really call him a vet, but he is the guy who has been on this team before and who has run that second unit. So if they're not going to use that mid-level exception that they still have to sign a veteran point guard or even on a minimum or whatever it is, if they don't plan to sign a veteran point guard, Jordan Poole needs to be that guy to run the second unit. He's the one who's more familiar with the system. I know I mentioned Andre Iguodala as a possibility to help out with that because he is familiar. But as you mentioned, his age, he's going to be doing a lot of other things as well. He's not going to be the dependent on backup floor general. So it's very important that Jordan Poole feels comfortable in that role.
Yeah, I mean, Andre can do a lot of different things. I mean, he's not going to be in that Udonis Haslam role where he's just a guy on the bench hanging out and helping guys out and being, you know, a part of the culture. Udonis has a great job in Miami, comes back every year on a minimum contract, and he's like an assistant coach. You know, he's like the guy that you look at and say, that's the godfather over there. Well, Andre has some of those tendencies, and he can do those things, but Andre's going to be able to contribute more on the floor. Udonis hardly ever plays. And Andre is going to be able to play. They need him to play. They want him to play. And he knows what he knows how this team should run at both ends of the court. So, yeah, if Jordan Poole can be the guy off the bench, then you can look at the rest of the roster and say, okay, now what else do we have that can work with him? And so these are questions still to be answered because, like you said, it's going to be a different team this year than it was last year. And last year they came into the season with, you know, Steph hadn't really played with Andrew Wiggins much, like one game, you know, and Draymond was hit and miss the previous season. So there's a lot of newness to what was going on last year. And Draymond wasn't, you know, around for training camp much either. So all these things are important. Those things are patched through. Stephen, Draymond, and Wiggins, those three guys, they let them plug them and play. Who starts at center? Wiseman, Looney, what do you do there? They get to decide that in training camp. I mean, I don't get the sense that they're decided one way or the other yet, you know. I think there's a chance that Wiseman could come off the bench and be part of the second unit. So we will see. They played pretty well when Looney started. And again, Looney is so trustworthy to guys like Curry and Draymond. They know where he's going to be, know what he does. And so you'll have that. And then you'll have Nemanja Bjelica, who can come off the bench and be a stretch five. So they have weapons now. It's a little bit different, but so much of it will depend on, you know, like we said earlier, it's health and cohesiveness.
Absolutely. That's going to be the biggest thing working for or against the Warriors this upcoming season. And it's going to be interesting to watch how everything unfolds. And we will be here every step of the way, breaking down everything for the rest of the offseason into the start of next season. Monty, thank you so much again for joining me today. And thank you all for listening. Please download, comment, like, subscribe, do all of those things. We love to hear your feedback. Until next time, have a great day.